Okay. Psalm 23:3. He say it with me. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's a good, good verse. Good lesson. So here's some of the words. He, God, our shepherd, restores. What does restore mean? It means bring back, make new. Like a beautiful piece of furniture broken and used up, brought back to new beauty and function. That's what he does for all of us. A beautiful example of this is called kintsugi. And it's the Japanese art of taking broken pottery and repairing it, putting gold or silver in the cracks. So instead of hiding it and trying to make it look like it used to be, they emphasize the faults, the cracks, the scars. This is Ethel May. Ethel May, like many of us, has been sitting here all morning trying to seem normal and whole and holding in her hurt. Did you find her? Yes. Ethel May, yeah, hold her up gently. So this is her first time here because she's been in my craft room. Because when we finished up making about half of these, Erin and her friends put together more for us, she had an accident and she fell off the table. And you can see on the inside how many pieces. And so God put this on, this just worked. So she's been sitting here trying to seem normal and whole, holding in her hurt, just like all of us. We all have hard seasons that leave visible scars. Some are hidden scars that we carry in our hearts, and they can color how we trust, how we see others, and how we dare to step out in our faith. Well, God specializes in taking those places in all of us. Those places that make us feel barren, broken, alone, and he can use them to strengthen you, to bring something new, new paths, living water. Anybody ever spilled water on the floor or milk, and it just goes into every nook and cranny, every crevice and crack? That's the living water that God wants to pour into you to fill every crack and whole and broken place in you, to replenish us and restore us. These broken parts of our story become the firm foundations that God will use to build new callings, new adventures, a testimony within you that will draw you closer to him and bring others to him. Points to his love and is caring. A wise friend once told me, broken crayons can still color. As a preschool teacher, I know that well. But in God's hand, broken crayons can be used to make a beautiful picture, a masterpiece. So never ever feel like you're too broken, too cracked, too scarred for God to use, because it's that part in you that he will use the most if you surrender it to him. Let's see. Nope, not clicking yet. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. He doesn't call us cylinders of steel. Nothing can break us. We can withstand anything. No, we're sheep and we're clay. And I'm glad. Like Ethel May, with Jesus, the treasure, his light can shine through those cracks. We want things fixed, and we want them fixed quick, and we want them fixed the way we want them fixed. But that's not how God works. He takes the broken, he gathers it together, and he shows it better, like the kintsugi. Can you let God kintsugi you? Because that's what he wants to do. We will never know why God heals some and not others, but he is unmistakably present in both. He can't use what we don't give him. So you have to surrender it and see what he's going to do with it. Restore isn't better, isn't back the way we used to be, isn't new, isn't shiny. The world says that's what it needs to be. We all need to be perfect. God is restoring us to himself. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you believe that? Yes. It's scripture. Who else has scars? The scars on Jesus' body were still visible after the resurrection. Now, do we think that that was intentional or a mistake? Or do you think God could have made it perfect? Yeah, yeah. So why do you think he still had scars? For us. To not be ashamed of our scars and to prove to the whole world he indeed was the Jesus that was crucified and rose again. There's kintsugi on us. Don't fret about your scars that remain after a hard season. Scars on our hearts or our bodies tell our stories, like stretch marks from a pregnancy. Those signify the gift and what was brought into the world. Those are our story. Dare to share how God used the hard and the difficult to bring you back and restore you to the woman he created you to be. Those aren't mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes, ever. We don't have to like the hard, but we can trust God will use it for good and his purposes. And we know that for those who love God, all things, it doesn't say some or only the things we like, it says all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose, not the way we think they should be used, but the way he plans on using them. And that changes everything. The good isn't an easy, carefree, happy life. Everything's great. Sunshine and roses. Going according to my plans. God's goal is less about relief and more about reforming our character, growing us closer to the image of his son and a deeper relationship with him. The question is, do we really believe that God can use our scars, our wounds, our hard seasons for his purposes, for his good? Do we believe in the kintsugi of our brokenness? We can't restore ourselves, ladies, by striving, by working harder, by doing better, being better, learning more, showing up more. Nope, that's not the way it works. But we can choose what shines through us. God's light cannot shine through complaining, grumbling, grouchy people. We can't change what happened. We can't change the cracks and scars that we carry. But we can change how we let it change. We can choose how it... We can choose how we let it change us. The world has enough hurt and hard. Choose to see God in it and through it. Lift your eyes intentionally to see him every day. He is there. He is placing something or someone in front of you to say, I see you. I see you. Look for the fun. Look for the good. Look for the silly. God doesn't want you to be grumbly, grouchy Christians. That doesn't draw anybody to us. Find your happy. God's light shines best through a smile, a happy and surrendered heart. So, restore my soul. What's a soul? What's our soul? Definition I found was an innermost being encompassing dreams, desires, and the very essence of who we are. But I like it a little more. The Hebrew word for soul is nefesh, one of my new favorite words. It's been around for since the beginning of this study, but I just love it, nefesh. And that is translated as soul, breath, heart, and mind. It's best described or presented in Genesis 27, where God breathes his breath, the breath of life, into the man he formed from dust. So our soul is the very breath of God breathed into us. Those are some good words, right? And that's what he's restoring. He restores our soul. If we let him. So today, choose to live at a pace that honors your nefesh. Our soul's capacity is meant to carry today. Not everything that happened in the past and not worry about everything in the future that we might not even see. It's just today. And we talked about it last week. You can't live faster than your soul can go. Then it just depletes you and drains you, and you're looking for it to be made to lay down. So take a breath and let your nefesh breathe, that God's breath within you. All right, let's hear from Jennifer. So paths. Notice that he leads us down paths, plural, of righteousness. It's plural, so there's a different path for a different season. From tranquil, tree-lined streets with birds chirping to paths riddled with landmines, your shepherd will lead you safely through to the destination he planned for your good and his purposes. So, like Jennifer said, the destination determines the path. So what's your destination? Keep your eyes on the destination, not the landmines and the rocks and the potholes. So let's talk some paths. So I've walked all these paths. Most of them are in Prescott. Some paths are smooth and easy. You know, the HOV lane up there on the left. Fast, easy to do. Others feel familiar. That's the Peavine. Spent a lot of time on the Peavine on my bike with my girls. You know every turn, every twist. You know what's coming. And you know where you're going. Off on the right, this was actually in, I believe, Arkansas. We were driving cross country to visit one of my daughters who was in Virginia at the time. And you can't really even see where you're going to go. And sometimes those paths lead you to a waterfall. You just keep going. Keep going. Or you climb up and it's a beautiful view. When we came out this path on the bottom, that was a different path to the waterfall. We realized we had gone in the out. You know, nobody said. There's no signs. Well, there was. On the way out, we saw the sign that said, "Beware of alligators." Ha! It's good to know you're going the right direction. Yeah. Some paths are steep and difficult to climb. That's my gym. And before the accident, we hiked all these trails. But that trail is actually in Prescott with the stairs. Anybody else, the one in the middle, been on the white dots in Granite Dells? Where there is no trail, you follow what looks like raven poop or something, you know. It's like to know you're on the path. Doesn't life feel that way sometimes? You know, sometimes it feels like the staircase. Sometimes it feels like, God, where are we supposed to be going now? Some paths are hard and feel like you got to dig them yourself. That's my backyard. And that was a good snowstorm that day. And some paths feel treacherous and unsafe. The difficulty of the path is not what matters. It's the destination and the posture of our heart. Like she said, the attitude. As we travel down each road, trusting our shepherd's leading. The lessons and the blessings that you will find if you stay the course and keep going. I love how paths also have edges, boundaries, beginnings and ends, even if you go in backwards. Crossroads, hills, valleys. We need directions so we don't go in backwards. We need a shepherd. So what does the shepherd do when we get off the path? Or we think, I don't want to climb that stair. I'm going to go this way. This looks easier. It's okay. I'll get there eventually, right? Does he wash his hands of us and say, "Well, you know, I tried. I showed Jessica where to go. I told her where she's supposed to go." What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 that ever went astray. I wasn't a fan of that verse for a long time. I'm a good girl to a fault. Always followed the rules. Always did what I was supposed to do. Why is God paying attention to the people who are misbehaving? You know, does he not care? Well, I learned this is now one of my favorites. He leads us. I don't think that's the right slide. What did I do? Okay. I need the big one. There should be one that's the big blown up of this little guy. It's the little one you can see. We'll work on that. You get what you get when Jessica makes the slides. So... So this is from Christ Follower Life. And I have one a little bit smaller than this in my dining room. And it changed everything. So I want you to look at it really good. Do you see the sheep? It's the same one as up there. Do you see the sheep? That's us. And we're in the mud again. The mud we made. Our mistakes, our wrong path, whatever that might look like. Jessica's done it again. She's made a mess. And what do you see in the distance? Is he just standing there going, waiting for us to get our act together? No, he's running. If you could see the big one, you'd see he's covered in mud. Up to here. My mud. The mess I made. He's running toward us. There. Thank you, Donna. I just love that little lamb too, right? I mean, look at mud, clear up. Clear up. Ever felt that way? And look at him running toward us to pick us up, clean us up, comfort us, carry us over to the right path, put our feet down where they're supposed to be, the path he has planned for us, and lead us again and again and again. And when we go astray, is he done because he did it already? No. Over and over, this is what love looks like. This is what his love looks like. And this is what I want you to feel, that love. Now the words. Okay. He leads us. He leads. He chooses the path. His word lights the way. His will, his way. Paths of righteousness. His righteousness. The straight path. His plan and purpose to bring us back to himself, make us right with God and others. For his name's sake, God's glory, not mine, God's glory and my good. To bring God the glory, walking the right path with the right attitude, grateful and surrendered to his leading. We can't walk the path with him if we're fighting him on it every step of the way. No, I don't want to climb the stairs. There's a reason. There's a reason. So surrender to his path, his plan, and his purpose. He goes before us. He walks beside us. He's already at the end, waiting for us, all at the same time. What a gift that is. When we open our clenched fists, my way, my plan, my speed, my timing, doesn't get us anywhere. We're back in the mud. God's thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. Our job, we have one job. Follow the shepherd. That's all we have to do. Every day when you get out of bed, where is he leading you today? Where does he want you to look? What does he want you to hear? Who does he want you to see? Follow your shepherd. Surrendering daily to his path, his plan, his pace, and purpose for our lives. So, now it's your turn. We'll do our table time. Try to keep the volume down so everybody can hear. And then after Chris, the microphone's over there for me. Okay, so your slips are on the table. So you're going to share. Well, I got a button. Okay. You're going to share a physical path you've ever walked or a path in life you've traveled. So like I said, I've done the pea vine. Just do your questions. Go ahead and get started. You don't want to hear from me. Thank you. Have you all made it all the way around the table? Are we good? Need more time? Are we good? Okay. All right, Helen and Chris. So Helen, you start up at the front, and Chris, you start in the back. You do this side, and she'll do that side. Okay. Okay, welcome back. Hands up, hands out, hands on your nose, hands in your lap, lips closed. Thank you. I love to hear all your sharing and laughter, and it's just wonderful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. So Chris and Helen are going to go table by table. So pick something you'd like to share with us all, because we all need to hear from everybody, because this is a group thing. You're not just listening to me. Helen, what do we got over here? Hold that microphone right up against your face.
Our table.
Right up against your face. Ooh.
Closer, huh?
Yeah.
Our table looked up the Hound of Heaven.
The Hound of Heaven.
Which is an 18th century poem. But we were talking about people in our lives that resist the Lord. Their paths are just nowhere near where the Lord wants them. Mm-hmm. And so it was just helpful for us to remember that the Lord is always pursuing, even yes. when we resist.
Yes. Yes. No matter what mess we've made. I had a request last week, if you're comfortable with it, whoever's talking, if you could stand up so we could hear you better and people could see who's talking. If you're not, we'll survive. But Chris, you got somebody? Thank you. Right up against your face and stand up if you're willing and able.
Our table had a lot of paths that we had been on. A lot of us had been on a similar path. And how God uses that path, even though it's not the right path. And maybe we were yes. off the path.
Yes.
God still can use that.
Very good. Very good. Yes. Helen.
I was told to make it short.
We're good.
The physical path that we've walked, we had several very interesting
up against paths your face.
That we got to go on. We got several paths that we got to go on. One of the things that I could also relate to is going through the lava tubes in Hawaii, and they're very confining, and it's really hard to avoid claustrophobia, and you can't always go faster than you want through these tubes because of all the people who are in them. So, you know, we're kind of stuck there. And I know I've been stuck there. I've been stuck in my life because I thought I was in charge. guess what? and then another gal is has trouble with heights. And she was in Hawaii with her son, and he wanted to take her up to the 14,000-foot peak of Mauna Loa, Mauna Kea. And she was really not excited about this and said, no, I don't want to go. He said, yes, Mom, you have to go. And when they got up there, it was dark, and they spent time just looking at the constellations and the stars, and what a wonderful experience that was. That working through that fear, she was yes. able to enjoy that.
What blessings are we going to miss out if we let fear stop us from going, following our shepherd? Good. Excellent. Chris. Donna.
All right. We were discussing some physical paths that we had been on, including climbing to Uliera Rock in Australia, or walking on certain paths in Hawaii, and how both of these paths are now closed to all people, or, you know, it's they relayed them back to the native indigenous peoples. But when you walk God's paths, there are paths for all of us, for everyone.
Yes.
They're not closed to certain people. They're open to everyone. And the new things that we learned this week were, don't take the detour from the path God has put you on. That's the devil leading you astray. But get back on that path as soon as you can. And we liked the new word for fixing, repairing clay. The Japanese art form, you know, how we can be restored. And the word for, did you write it down?
The kintsugi?
Not, yeah, the other word that we learned about, nefesh.
Nefesh. Nefesh.
So that's...
That Hebrew, yeah.
Yes, the Hebrew word.
So, yeah, everybody's welcome on the path. God is waiting. That's why he's not here already, because he's waiting for all of us in the mud to get on the path. You know, he's going to chase us all. Love that.
Well, we had paths from all over the place to talk about, but then we talked a little bit about the path that Savannah Guthrie must be walking right now. Oh. And the terror she must be living through. And Karen shared that she had read Savannah Guthrie's book, Mostly What God Does, and how that made her feel like she was Savannah's friend because it was such a personal story. And I guess we just need to pray for Savannah and for her mom and that path that's being negotiated right now.
God's in it with her, but oy, hard path, hard path. Chris? All right, Barb, what you got?
Ours was different. Yours were so beautiful. I could picture the nature. We talked about our physical challenges.
Nice.
We talked about bouts of shingles. We talked about broken femurs, losing a husband. But we all agreed that when you're going through these horrible, horrible things, God is closer to you.
Yes.
Closer than when you're happy and when you're at a party, everything's just fine. God is closer when you're going through those trials. And I heard lots of affirmation about coming to WOW and how that completely turned this woman's life over. I learned a really special thing this week. I received a beautiful letter from the other grandma, and I realized we need to take the time to do that more often. If you can't tell somebody face-to-face what they mean to you and how special they are, write a letter, write a note. It meant so much to me. I cried when I finished reading the letter. It was just beautiful. So we need to spread that.
Beautiful. So hard things, hard seasons. Does anybody ever notice that the sunrise, I'm a sunrise, less sunset people, that got there are prettier when there's a storm?
Yes.
And when it's sunshiny and everything's great, there's not a lot to see. So God is with us in the storms every time. Good. Helen.
We talked about the paths that we each have in our personal lives. One of us had children that were special needs and how God guided her on that path. Another one had a husband with Alzheimer's and the trials and tribulations that God had her on that path and how he rescued her for both of them. And then another one, there was an estranged child and he's completely disowned the family and how God is working with her in that life. And so we took the personal paths that each of us experiences and talked about that.
Nice, nice. God's in them. That's the kintsugi. He is shining his light through those hard places.
Janice, somebody pointed at you.
Well, hand it to somebody at that table. Renee, Faith, one of you girls, take that mic. Thank you.
Good morning. We talked a lot about paths, and Chris, of course, talked about hiking on this South Kaibab Trail down to the Grand Canyon and how the whole time you're hiking, you're worried about the ledge. And she even got down to the bottom, stayed at the ledge, and had nightmares about it. And that's kind of how our lives can be sometimes, that even if you're pushing through a path, you're always worrying about the ledge. And then mine was a path of life. The first 10 years of my career, I was single, there were no cell phones, and I was traveling the country for my company. And it was just the best 10-year path I could ever be. I was free. I wasn't checking in with people. Nobody knew where I was except for my boss. And I just felt a freedom that I've never felt since. since cell phones and husbands and children. So that was a good path.
So if we're always looking at the edge, can we see the shepherd?
I'm going to add to that, but that was in December, and it was snowing at the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. And so we had ski poles because the other kind of poles hadn't been invented yet. And stepping over large logs and trying to go down and then getting to the edge of the switchbacks and going, oh, I didn't go over the edge.
Was it worth it?
Absolutely.
Nancy.
Okay, so we're just going to diddle what you said, because that's exactly what we talked about. But one of the things for the path, and when you have a spouse or a friend or somebody that's going through Alzheimer's, is you forget about you. You've got to remember the self-care path that you have to take for you in order for God to help you help that person. And I think as women, we tend to forget that. Mm-hmm. So, but coming here is a self-care for this person. And she wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. So,
nice. Definitely my green pasture fills me up for next time. Yeah.
Good morning. We started out with several of the ladies actually on physical paths around here, and it led to the fact that one of the ladies has met another lady who met another lady, and they are here together.
Nice.
Yes. So it's a path that brought them to ALC to WOW, and I also was led by friends in Minnesota who told me that a Minnesota boy was in Prescott preaching.
Nice.
Oh, so there's many paths that led us here today. In addition to some paths from South Africa and small town to LA. So some of our life paths have brought us from real small areas into large cities and trying to navigate that whole situation as well. As well as how are we restored? I think our main conversation centered around some of our losses. When we have lost a spouse or other people that are important to us, it really brings us to our knees. And we are in a position to really, really seek out God and what his next path is for us and how to redo that. So that restored many of us, knowing that God was still there. And I think we can end on the phrase that we learned, every time we're lost, he comes and finds us.
Yes. Over and over and over. Good.
We talked about paths, local paths, the beauty of God's creation, how blessed we are to live here, and how thankful. And God's restoration in our life. One of our members shared that she had to do a 16-mile basic training hike in the Army. It was the last hike, carrying a 70-pound pack, thinking literally that you might die on this hike. And suffering along with your thoughts, and then having a terrible injury, and then realizing you're not alone. It's good to look back on, and you realize that God was actually with you the whole time. And what we learned is that you need to trust the path.
Yes. Good. Good. Trust the path.
We talked about both physical and life paths. And so we started off with someone who walks right around here. She lives within walking distance of ALC. And some of her daily walks are going by Alta Vista and Las Fuentes and just visiting with some of those residents along the way, and how uplifting that is, you know, to talk with some of these people that maybe can't get out and walk around. And then I recognized several of the slides that Jessica showed I've been on those stairs and mm-hmm. the paths over the rocks with the dots and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciated that. I've only lived here about 4.5 years, and I agree that I feel so blessed to yes. be able to see so many different, you know, areas. Yesterday I hiked in Sedona, and I hadn't been able to do that because of some health things for about a year. So I really appreciated that. We had a few people that shared some health journeys. Two mm-hmm. of our ladies have gone through breast cancer, one 18 years ago, one 5 years ago. And how, looking back on that, you just know that God was with you during that whole journey. We have someone who is going through something right now, be having a procedure on Thursday next week. But she reminded us that she's coming to WOW next Wednesday, too. Yes. So appreciated that. She also felt that God really spoke to her visiting Yosemite for the first time. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my favorite national parks. I went there when I was 4 years old with my family. And so I could really relate to that. She hiked Half Dome also. And so just the juxtaposition of both life paths and physical paths, mm-hmm. we really got into it. As far as just what I learned, I loved your question about my soul. And so I had written this at home, good. So I just thought I could share.
Please.
It's okay. The unique inner being that God has created in each of us. He designed us to be special in his image, but also different from each other. He also placed in us a void that can only be filled by Jesus.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
I just really have loved coming to WOW. I've only been coming for a year, but Donna was one of my leaders. And
hey, Donna.
And Becky, so amazing, you know.
Good. So just glad to have you.
Yeah, thank you.
All of you. Nice. Helen.
Our group talked a lot about the physical hiking. One of them talked about Goldwater Lake and how she got lost up there, her and a friend. And it was walked a long way, and then thank God someone came along going the other direction and told them which way to go. So that sort of talks about sometimes we're walking the wrong way and God turns us around with help from others and turns us in the right path. Someone else talked about climbing up Granite Mountain, taking a first trip up there and how it was difficult and it was raining and snowing and they had to be patient and not make it all the way to the top, and wisdom played in it, and then how God was in all of the nature that they saw and how beautiful and how close to God she felt while she was walking. And one of the ladies talked about her life path with her husband, who's now deceased, but how he drug her across the United States with two babies, was not happy at all, and went to many different places, sacrificed a lot of finances and comfort and everything else. But we were reminded by what you talked about sticking with it. Mm-hmm. And it turned out she ended up here, thank God, with her wonderful artist husband.
Nice.
And mine was hiking the Grand Canyon several times many years ago. I haven't done it in about 20 years, but I did it a lot. And how I never thought about the edge except for when the mules came along, because they have the right of way. And believe me, you don't want to follow them close. but how many different kinds of people I met on the trail. Young women that were not prepared. They were in little flip-flop sandals, and their husband was sort of dragging them along, and they weren't strong enough to say, I think I'm going to go back to the top. Another young man who was strong and ran, who was doing the rim to rim to rim, and I met him way down at the path, and he had fractured his ankle, and he was waiting for a helicopter. And another person, an older man, who I think thought he was still 30, and ended up with a terrible heart attack, and they had to take him out. And the highlight of mine was this 80-year-old woman from Germany. She was 80-something. She was hiking in a bikini. I swear, it's the truth. And she had two huge walking sticks, but she was going so slow and so determined. And she had done it in years previous. She was determined to do it again. And it just reminded me of, if we're on a path, no matter our physical condition, our age, or whatever else, we need to take deliberate action and follow the Lord.
Exactly, exactly. Chris? Anne, what you got for us?
Well, I was on the wrong path for
up
years.
Up to your face.
Oh, I was on the wrong path for years. I tell people I had a drug problem when I was young. I was raised in the Nazarene church, and I was drugged to church in the Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, for prayer meeting, camp meetings, church camp. So when I left home, I felt I'd had a surfeit of church, and I was determined never to go back, except, well, I went back occasionally, but I went years without going to church. And I immigrated to Australia and married an American who was over there. And we moved from a small town to Adelaide, South Australia. And I was pregnant when we moved, very excited, because I really wanted a baby. And 10 weeks before the baby was supposed to be born, I had gestational diabetes. And he was born 10 weeks early, 2 pounds 13, 4 lung collapses. They'd never had anybody survive more than 2. And so, have you ever heard of a foxhole prayer? Well, I prayed one. And I decided to pray that if God, if you save my baby, I will go to church. Okay, so I told Pastor Mark the story, and I said, unfortunately, I didn't put an expiration date on that. So 45 years later, I'm still going to church.
Yay!
But that put me on the right path.
Nice.
And I'm very thankful for that. And I'm also thankful for my son, who has a slight learning disability, but he has a master's degree, and he's a hard worker. He struggles, but he succeeds. So life is good.
Nice. Thanks, Anne. Thanks, Anne.
We talked about life paths, and some of us had problems in our first marriage, but the Lord provided a second marriage, and he restored our souls. And we talked about moving here to Prescott from other areas, and how just the atmosphere in Prescott was a healing time for us.
Nice.
So
nice.
It was good, and we appreciate what you're teaching us, because we can identify with being a she.
Thank you. Thank you. Where are you at?
Right here.
Okay.
So we had also, we had physical paths and life paths. One of our women shared about a breast cancer experience when she was 41, and what a difficult time that was. But when she got to the point where she could turn it all over to the Lord, all she had was peace, and she's alive and well today. Another one of our women shared about a physical hike. She did the Camino to Santiago trail in Spain, Portugal and Spain. She did it with a girlfriend. They were in their early 70s. They hiked 174 miles, if I remembered that correctly. And kind of the sense of accomplishment of if you put your mind to it, you can do it. And then, but also a lot of thanking God and time with God along the way as they walked. And they're doing it again in September.
Nice.
We talked about restoration, and what was shared was similar to what Linda just said, marriages ending that they didn't want, that they were not the one that ended the marriage, and how broken they felt afterwards, embarrassed, and just like failures. But out of that, they were restored, and in retrospect, it was a really good thing that those marriages ended and their lives that they went on to have thereafter.
Nice.
Something new. So we talked about paths, and it's a little tricky, and I don't know if anyone has the answer to this. This is like the million-dollar question. When you are on the right path, but it feels wrong, versus you're on the wrong path, like, how do you discern that sometimes? So anyways, the million-dollar question. That's it. Thanks.
Nice. Nice. I'm not sure I know the answer. If God's in it with you, he probably tells you whether you're doing it right or not. I don't know. Thoughts? Dee.
Okay. We didn't really talk about real actual paths.
That's
because
fine.
Most of us at this table don't do a lot of walking. But we did talk about life paths, and one of the things that came out that I thought was really interesting was talking about the people whose lives we affect or whose lives affect us mm-hmm. while we're on that path, and that we don't realize it, yeah. how important it is, our interaction with those people. And how they affect us. And we had one lady who recently lost her husband, and she realized that she's just, you know, she's in her grief, but she knows that she is on the path, and the importance of maybe we don't know where that path's going to lead, but for sure we know that that means we need to trust God while we're on the path, and maybe just be willing without knowing.
Yes.
The willingness to be on a path that God leads us on without literally knowing where it's going to end up.
Yeah, one step at a time. He'll lead you. Pearl.
Thank you. We talked about different kinds of paths over here. Some of us talked about paths that we had taken through lovely, beautiful places and seeing the majesty of God and knowing how God was with us as we were walking through those paths and showing us his beauty and his love for us. We also talked about some difficult paths that we all have in our lives, paths of cancer and of broken marriages and husbands with problems, physical problems, and how God is just there with us all the time as we're going through these various things. And we didn't get around to talking about what we got this week, but I think we all probably found out that it's important to be on a path with God.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so important to have our sheep with us. Can't do life alone.
I'm Carol. We talked about some similar things about going down into the Grand Canyon. But what I thought was interesting is that she was 12, and she trusted her leaders. And how that makes such a difference, right? When you have someone you feel like you can follow along. And then how one of her friends was complaining and what that's like to be with sheep that are complaining, maybe. Also, we talked about another path of career and going to being the 10th substitute at a school and how miserable the kids were, and not crying on campus, but off campus crying and just asking God, for strength and those kind of things, they're testimonies. And I think of Revelation 12:11. We overcome the powers of darkness through the blood of the Lamb and the words of the testimony of others. And how encouraging that is to each one of us.
Amen. Amen.
So we talked a little about some of the
closer
trips. Some of the trips we've had, and I went and did a raft trip down the Grand Canyon and for 2 weeks with a group of 20 people. And it's an experience you never forget and that just kind of helps you through life. And we had another one at our table where she was in Oregon and wanted to see these beautiful falls. And then we were driving a little bit farther, and they just meandered onto this trail that wasn't planned, and it was a gem. It was even better than the one that they were trying to get to in the first place. So somebody at our table had a very, very good... There's only two things in life. You either go forward or you die. So I love that because you can't really argue with it.
Love it, love it. Stay stuck and don't do anything or just keep stepping. And don't you find when God puts you on an unexpected path?
This.
It's fun. Yeah, and it's worth it. Jareen.
We didn't get a whole lot of discussion from other people because I was telling them my story about how I found how God put me here 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. We were moving from California to Wisconsin, and everybody, my husband, my son was there, and my daughter, and all our furniture and all of that. And anyway, my daughter and I were coming to join them in a car. It was almost brand new. And we got as far as Prescott, never been here before, and it was my turn to drive now, and when I turned the key on, my engine, blew up. I put a rod through the engine of almost a brand new car in the parking lot, and all I could say was, thank you, God. I don't know why I'm saying thank you, God, but thank you, God. And it brought us here, and it's the best thing that ever happened to us.
Yay! And
love Prescott.
She's one of the founders of WOW, so we're really glad that she broke down in Prescott. You guys are amazing. We got every table, right? Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Helen. Thank you for sharing. This is our journey together. We are meant to walk it together, and together we are stronger. And like you said, we can help go nudge, 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 get back on the path, or, you know, this is how I did it. Follow me. Let's try this together with God. We're in this life together for a reason, and I'm so thankful. So next week, I never remember to do the sheep. Do I have a thing? There we go. We just did that. Help me next week. Tell me. Put the sheep up because it's cute. Okay. Here's our words for this week. He, God, our shepherd, restores, makes us new, brings us back. Restores my soul, our nephesh, God's breath within us. He leads me, he chooses and lights the way. In paths of righteousness, his righteousness, the straight path, plan, purpose, to bring us back to himself, not to make life easy, not to make us happy, to bring us back to him and right with God and others, for his name's sake, for God's glory and our good. So worth the steps. Keep stepping. Keep going. And I don't point at that. I point at this. Go ahead, Donna. Next week, we're in the valleys. God gets personal in the valley. This is a good week. Jennifer's going to walk us through three valleys out of the scriptures. And you've got the scripture references. This week especially, I encourage you to go through and read those valleys. I put a little piece of each, the Valley of Baca, the Valley of, I don't know them off the top of my head, but I should. But they're good, and you're going to learn so much, and you're going to grow, and it's not a dark It's worth coming and doing. Please, please, please. It's good. Valley of sorrow, grief, valley of battle. Don't remember the third one. I guess I have to do it all again, don't I? Thank you for coming. Let me pray you out. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this time together. We are thankful for every path you put our feet on, for every sheep you bring us alongside of and that come alongside of us, for the restoring and renewing, for chasing us and cleaning us off over and over. We love you, Lord. Bless us, watch over us, and keep us till we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies.